The Lord, everybody. Are you enjoying this study? You getting anything out of it? Well, praise His name. You may be seated. Well, I may back up and cover just a little bit more of what went on over last week. And one of the things that I would like to pick up on is when John says, I beheld, this is in the last portion of the book of Revelation, well, the first portion of the book of Revelation, around verse 3. It says, I beheld till the thrones were cast down, just in place, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, wheels as burning fire, and a fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands, thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. And the judgment was set, the books were opened. That's in Daniel 7, verse 9 through 10. And the rainbow in the seal of God's promise that he never again would destroy all of mankind in Genesis 8:21. And in Genesis, let's see, it's 8:21, 22, 9, 8, and 17. He says, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works therein shall be burned up. Going on over around about the sixth chapter or so in Revelation, the saints in heaven can be identified by their clothing, their work, their positions. Their clothing, of course, is white. And that's referred to in Revelations 19:8 and 3:5. They wear crowns, Revelation 2:10 and 3:11. Yes. We got a lot to go through. I'm trying to cover it all tonight. I think I've already gone through this before, haven't I? Yeah, that's the reason I'm going a little fast. All right, I'll slow down so you can catch up. I'll back up a little bit. Starting again, starting with the saints in heaven, how they're identified. First, by their clothing, which is white. They wear crowns, Revelation 2:10 and 3:11. They sit on thrones, Revelation 3:21. 2:26 and 27. Also in Matthew 19:28. Other groups of saints in this heavenly army are called the living ones. And that's the ones we'll be covering quite a bit on here tonight. They're called the living ones. Also referred to as beasts, horsemen, and angels. Now, they're not angels. They're just simply referred to because this is what John is seeing, and he's trying to relate it to something. And because of the way they're dressed and the glory that shines around them and about them and so forth, he assimilates them as angels also. They all represent saints, organized for the great work that lies ahead. In 1 Corinthians 6:2. Says, do you not know the saints shall judge the world? All the judgment of the ones who don't follow God is left to the saints. And there's a division in the work that the saints perform. We will be made rulers over many things according to our faithfulness. The elders, the living ones, and the horsemen do not represent individuals. They are groups. Who share in a division of labor and responsibility. From the highest qualified to the lowest. That's why you want to grow as much as you possibly can in the church. Be as faithful as spiritually possible for you. Do everything that God puts to your hand for you to do. And the more that you prove your worthiness, you might say, your willingness to sacrifice and to let God use you in any manner that he can, and the faithfulness with which you serve in that will determine your position in the work of redemption in heaven. The living ones lead all of heaven in praising God. And they are next in authority under Jesus Christ, carrying out this program of redemption. Living ones, elders, horsemen, and others, all redeemed saints, will execute the judgments written in the seven sealed book that is about to be opened. Lightnings, voices, and thunders, along with the rainbow, which is evidence of mercy and grace, these lightnings, voices, and thunders are evidence of judgment and wrath. As an example, when God judged Egypt those 10 times under Pharaoh and his stubbornness, lightnings and fire were used in those judgments. Now turn over to Ezekiel, I believe that's where we want to go. Ezekiel Ezekiel chapter 1. Now, this is quite long, so I don't think you need to write it down. Just write down the scripture of Ezekiel 1, verse 1 to the end. Well, verse 4 to the end. You don't need to read the first three. Now, this is describing these living ones that he saw in Revelation. This is a vision that God gave to Ezekiel a long, long time before John saw his vision. So, let's read it together. And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud and a fire unfolding itself, and brightness was about it. And out of the midst thereof, as the color of amber, out of the midst of the fire, also out of the midst there came the likeness of four living creatures. These are the same living ones that John is seeing while he's in heaven. And this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. And they resembled a man. And every one had four faces. Now, that doesn't mean that they had four faces on them. It simply means they had a representation of four different, what you might call it, appointments, abilities, authority. That's the best I can come to it. Authority. And every one had four wings. Their feet were straight feet, and the sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot, and they sparkled like the color of burnished brass. Now these, remember, are things he's seeing. This is what Ezekiel is seeing in this vision. Now, this vision is a vision of heaven, but it is a vision as Ezekiel is seeing from the earth. And he's trying to apply a description to something he's never seen before, and there is no way to tell exactly what it looks like because there's no words for him to describe it. So he's simply doing the best he can and hoping possibly that we will use our imagination as he's doing. Because what he thinks it might be in one point might not be what we would see it as, or as individuals. We might all see it as a little bit different. But if you don't have any words to describe something and you're trying to make it up, you have to use words and symbols and names of things and situations that you are familiar with to something that you're not familiar with. And try that sometime. See how difficult it is. And they had hands of a man under their wings on their four sides, and they had, and the four had their faces and their wings. Their wings were joined one to another, and they turned not when they went, and they went every one straight forward. As for the likeness of their faces, the four had the face of a man, and the face of a lion, and on the right side they had the face of an ox, and on the left side the four also had the face of an eagle. Thus were their faces, and their wings were stretched upward. Two wings of every one were joined one to another, and two covered their bodies. And they went every one straight forward, wherever the Spirit went, they went. And they didn't turn from the way they were going. In other words, when the Spirit moved them to do something, they did it, and they didn't look this way or whatever. They just did what they were supposed to do. said their feet went straight ahead. That means they didn't just look around and walk this way. They just straight ahead. As for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire and like the appearance of lamps. It went up and down among the living creatures, and the fire was bright, and out of the fire went forth lightning. Now, do you know who he's referring to as these living creatures? The living ones. Do you know who they are? Has anybody picked up on that yet? They're the saints. They're the saints in heaven that have different authorities and different jobs that they're doing. And he's trying to describe how they're dressed, how they look, what their jobs are, what they're doing, and he doesn't have any words to describe it with. He's just fishing, you might say. All this will come much clearer to you as we go further ahead. And one reason I'm reading this to you tonight is because it is covering the living ones, and it's the same ones that John is seeing, only he's seeing them in heaven. He's there with them, seeing what they're doing, how they're acting, what they look like, and so forth. And Ezekiel is seeing a vision while he's on the earth looking up. And the living creatures ran and returned as the appearance of a flash of lightning. Pretty quick on their feet, you might say. They went and returned. They went that way and they came back. Now as I beheld the living creatures, behold, one wheel upon the earth by the living creatures with his four faces. The appearance of the wheels and their work was like the color of beryl. And the four had a likeness, and their appearance and their work was, as it were, a wheel in the middle of a wheel. We'll also be getting a better look at that later. When they went upon their four sides. They turned not when they went. And as for their rings, they were so high that they were dreadful. Their rings were full of eyes round about them, around about the four. And when the living creatures went, the wheels were by them. And when the living creatures were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up with them. Whithersoever the spirit was went, they went there also. And the wheels were lifted up over against them. For the spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. When these went, when these stood, and when those were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up over against them. For the spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. Now, he's not really seeing wheels. I know it sounds really confusing, but trust me, it will clear up. It will clear up. And it's not really wheels he's seeing. And it'd be so much clearer if he was there. See, not as clear as we would like it to be, because even if he were in heaven seeing it, remember there's still no words to describe what he sees. He can't describe it here. They can't describe it there. They're limited as to what they can describe it by what they know now. If you had never seen, you'd never seen an airplane, never saw one, never heard one, never even had an idea about it. And this was, back in the year 100 B.C. You'd never seen an airplane, never seen anything motorated, automated, or whatever it is. You'd never seen anything like that. And then all of a sudden, this thing comes flying by, zipping by, and it looks just like an F-15, but they don't know what an F-15 is. They don't know what an airplane is. They don't know anything about what they're seeing. They just stand looking at it with their mouth open, their eyes real wide, and somebody, they're trying to describe what they saw to somebody. And even right now, if you try to describe it, you would automatically go to describe an airplane because you know what an airplane looks like. But sometime, if you've never seen something, and you've never seen it before, it's brand new to you, and you're trying to describe it to somebody, see how difficult it is trying to describe it for what you know for something that you've never seen before. It can get real difficult. You think, well, I could do that. But if you ever come up on something like that, and I've been in that situation, I don't remember what it was, but I'd never seen one before, and I'm trying to explain. Oh, it's an armadillo. That was an armadillo. It just looked a big rat, with scales and claws and teeth. And it rolls up into a ball. Well, you could get pretty close, I guess, but anyway. Shall we continue? Where did I leave off? Yeah. And the likeness of the firmament was upon the heads of the living creatures, was as the color of terrible crystal stretched forth over their heads above. Under the firmament were their wings straight, the one toward the other. Every one had two which covered on his side, and every one had two which covered on that side their bodies. And when they went, I heard the noise of their wings like the noise of great waters, as the voice of the Almighty, the voice of speech, as the noise of a host. When they stood, they let down their wings. And there was a voice from the firmament that was over their heads. And when they stood and had let down their wings, and above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne, as the appearance of the sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above upon it. In other words, there's something on that throne that looks like a man, kind of. And I saw as the color of amber, as the appearance of fire round about and within it. This thing is glowing, just radiantly beautiful. The color of amber. That's, amber is a kind of a deep orange yellow. And from the appearance of his loins even upward, and from the appearance of his loins even downward, I saw, as it were, the appearance of fire. And it had brightness round about it, as the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud, like a rainbow. In the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell on my face, and I heard a voice of one that spoke. He's trying to describe heavenly redeemed saints in the glory that God has them in. How they're dressed, how they look, everything. And he's trying to describe it with something he has no idea of how to do it. It gives you, like what did the Lord say here one time, just wait till you see what I have for you. I wish you hadn't said that almost. Because it's hard to wait. What did he say? I wait not patiently. Shouldn't have said it. Carrying on. The rainbow, the voices and the thunders. The rainbow is evidence of mercy and grace. Mercy and grace. Lightning, voices, and thunders are evidence of judgment and anger or wrath. The rainbow was seen before the lightnings. And grace always precedes judgment. The rainbow was seen before the lightning. Grace always precedes judgment. And there's two kinds of judgment sent forth on the day of the Lord. First, You have judgment mixed with what? Mercy. And that is during what time? First 3.5 years. You have judgment mixed with mercy. How does mercy apply in this situation? He judges and he shows mercy. How does the mercy apply in this time of judgment? What happens? Yes, Dave. They die. They give their life for the testimony of Jesus Christ, for the gospel. Do not take the mark of the beast. In doing so, you lose your souls. Shed your blood for the testimony and the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. And those that gave their life, gladly gave their lives for eternal life, were innumerable. Innumerable. Millions were saved. Now that sounds like a lot of people, but it really isn't. You know how many millions are in a billion? You put a million people in one place, that looks like an awful lot of people. But you put a billion beside them and see how small that crowd gets. And right now we have, what, 7 billion people, 8 billion people on the world? Last I heard it was around 7 billion. I haven't counted them in a while, so I don't know. But anyway, it's around 27 and 8 billion people. But there are several million. There are, if I'm not mistaken, there's either 100 million in a billion or 1,000 million in a billion. I don't remember which one it is. Does anybody know? 1,000? Yeah, that's a lot of people. 1,000 million. See, millions can be saved. It might only be 3, 4, 5 million. Could have been 10 million or 100 million. But what's 100 million up against 1,000? But if you just take 100 million one time, that sounds like a lot. But it isn't. Just like the time now when people have a chance in the dispensation of grace to receive the Holy Spirit and be counted into the bride, the elite, the treasure of the treasures to God himself, and they turn it away. They shun it. They don't want it. Not everyone. You're proof of that. But 99.9% of the people reject it today. And that's not too far off. There's a lot of people that accept the gospel and obey it and are born again of the Spirit. But it's just a drop in the bucket compared to how many reject it. So the lightnings, voices, and thunders are evidence of judgment and anger. So first comes judgment mixed with grace. War, famine, pestilence, falling stars will cause even the greatest men to seek cover. But it will be followed by the preaching of the gospel, where millions therein are saved. That is the entire purpose of this particular judgment. This time of 3.5 years through tribulation. Next comes anger or wrath poured out without mixture. This is pure judgment now. Those that will be saved have been saved. And the only ones left now are the reprobates who reject, curse God, have no interest in him whatsoever, and serve Satan alone. And they know what they are doing. That is unbelievable. But this comes a judgment, and during this second period of judgment, and plagues, no one is saved. No one. For six or seven, or 7 years, 7 years, no one is saved. But the earth will be cleansed. The purpose, the second part of judgment, in other words, when the judgment we're just now talking about, when all of the sinners have rejected Christ that are left, they're gone. The earth is cleansed. That's the purpose of the second judgment. To cleanse the earth and the effects of sin. Remember when sin entered into the garden, how God cursed the earth because of the effects of sin? He said he did it for man's sake. That curse someday will be lifted. And God will put this world back just like it was when he placed Adam and Eve into that garden. It'll be just like it was when he finished his work and he saw it's good. Now, if it's good to God, it's good to us, believe me. It's absolutely mind-boggling. Those that inherit the new earth, if they had any idea of what they were inheriting. Now, the new earth is fantastic. It really is fantastic. It would make Hawaii in the fall, which is the best time to go there, it would make that place look like a barren desert of what this world will look like again. Peace, tranquility, love, and worship of God will reign supreme. No more pain, no more death, no more hunger. I don't know if any of you have ever, I've got into a habit. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not so good. I watch YouTube a lot. I never even knew what it was for a year, but this past year, I've watched it considerably. And there's everything you can imagine on YouTube. Some of it you don't need to see. Trust me in that. Some of it you need to. You need to. It has a lot of really good information on it. Things that you probably don't even know about right now. But the world is very much aware that something is in the air. Something's going to happen. They know that these are the end days. They don't know when. They keep prophesying, well, it's going to be in 2:16 for sure. In 2:17, it's got to be that way. But there's no way they know, but they know that something's bad. We've had more earthquakes in places that have never had earthquakes than we've ever had since this world was created. Tsunamis that have wiped out thousands in this swipe. Floods and hurricanes and tornadoes and storms and freezing in the place where it's always been nice and warm and perfect, and nice and warm and perfect where it's always been free. You want nice weather? Come to Alaska. You want really cold, bad weather? Go back east. You can get it. Some places where they've never had below freezing weather. Down to 10, 15, 20 below. It's coming. Bring it on, Lord. Bring it on. So the purpose of this judgment is to bring millions, this first judgment, is to bring millions to Christ. But when he pours out his judgment that has no mercy at all in it, and even the rich and powerful, those that are untouchable in this world, the ones that rule and reign right now, and this world is ruled and reigned by a very elite small group. I never knew that before. I know it now. And it sounds impossible. It sounds impossible. But believe me, it is not impossible. Satan definitely rules this world right now. If it's wrong to God, it's right to the masses. And if it's right to God, they don't want anything to do with it. The masses. So the purpose of the second judgment is to cleanse the earth from the effects of sin. And he lifts that curse, and the results of sin will be destroyed. The world will be purged. And this is the meaning of the lightnings and the thunders and the voices. Now, the seven spirits of God, the seven lamps of fire, as we read in first part of Revelation, are the seven spirits of God. And these are not candles or candlesticks, but they're torches. They're actually held aloft, indicating preparation for battle. Remember the story when Gideon was fighting the Midianites, I think. And he had, God said, well, God already knew. He said, how many, count all the people? And I think he had around 10,000. And God said, that's too many. If I let you go against them, and even though I deliver them into your hand, you win the battle, they'll think they did it themselves. God won't receive the glory. So I want you to take everyone that's married, everyone that's afraid, everyone that don't want to face this fight, and tell them to go home. And he lost everyone except, I think, about 1,000. It's unbelievable, but that's what happened. And he said, still too many. Send them down to the river and have them get a drink of water. And those that get down on their hands and knees and lap it like a dog, send them home. Those that reach down with their hands and put it to their mouth and look around, you keep those. There were only 300 that drank out of their hand, looking around. They're aware. They know they're in a place of danger. They're fighting. They're going against the Midianites. They're outnumbered about 100 to 1. And God said, with this 300, I'll deliver you. And he did. He killed every one of them. But most of them were killed by hailstones. But anyway, the story is that Gideon had his men, the 300, take these vessels with them made out of clay, and he put a candle inside of them, put the top back on it, and they all had a trumpet. And they got out and they scattered all the way, all around this Midianite camp. And when he said, when I blow the trumpet, break your lanterns and blow your trumpets. And that's what he did. And when he did that, the Midianite got up, started running around. And the people. People of God. The Jewish people. The Israelites, yeah. Said, the Israelites are up on us. And they started running around and fighting everything. And they started killing each other. They were so confused and bumfuzzled. And then God dropped a bunch of hailstones on them, big hailstones. And more were killed by the hailstones than were killed by Gideon's 300. But anyway, they slaughtered about 10,000 men. Or God did. So that's the purpose of the fire and the trumpets. Or the torches, rather. These seven torches are not symbols of the Holy Spirit. We're not dealing with symbols now, remember. But with literal heavenly things. Remember the dove that John saw in the four Gospels when it came and lit upon Jesus? It said the Holy Spirit came in the form of a dove. It was not a, a manifestation of the Holy Ghost. See how did I write that down? It was. I got it backwards. It's not a symbol, but it is a manifestation. In other words, the dove is set upon Jesus, come upon him, was a manifestation of the Holy Spirit, not a symbol. It was a reality, indicating the nature of God, Jesus' work. He didn't come, didn't have a lion come up on his shoulder, and he didn't have a lamb on his shoulder, but he came as a dove of peace, of peace. His nature of work was to win souls, not to alienate them from God, but to win souls, to bring salvation to mankind. So the four living ones in Revelation, the fourth chapter, around verse 6, I think. Yep, here we go. Out of the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne, and round about the throne were four beasts, full of eyes before and behind. The first beast was like a lion. The second beast like a calf. The third beast had a face as a man. And the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. The four beasts had each of them six wings about them. They were all full of eyes within. They rest not day or night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was, which is, and which is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that lived forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are created. The translators call these things beasts, probably because of their appearance. They were similar to the cherubims of Ezekiel, but the scene and the circumstances are different. These living ones are likened to a calf. These living ones are likened to a lion, a calf, a man, and an eagle in flight. Again, John is using earthly words to express heavenly things, calling them a lion, a calf, a man, and an eagle, just like he called Jesus Christ a lion and a lamb. He wasn't either one. But his work that he did, he fulfilled in that capacity. So these descriptions of these beasts that he sees are other angelic beings that take on this appearance of these, whatever they are. And John is trying to describe again something he has never seen before. So he's getting as close to it as he can. Using earthly words to express heavenly things. We understand that these animal characteristics in the same way we understand the meaning of lion and lamb. At least we should. We associate these characteristics of a lion, a calf, a man, and an eagle. A lion, like maybe strength and power and judgment, so forth. A calf is... what does the calf do? Drinks its mother's milk, for one thing. We can't apply that to it. They mostly just kind of run around and frolic. So I don't know what a calf does. So I don't know. A man, we know what a man does. And an eagle. An eagle flies real high. So using earthly words, he's doing the best he can. He called the lamb a number of times. Christ, he calls a lamb number of times in Revelation. But we don't see Christ in our minds that's looking like a lamb. In the same way with a lion. When we see Christ, we see a man. A kind, gentle, loving, horrendously tortured man. He called a lamb because, like a sacrificial lamb, he died for our sins. Jesus may also be likened to a calf or an ox because he was a servant both to God and man. He washed the disciples' feet. He's likened to a man because he took on the form of sinful flesh. Like an eagle, because of the heavenly places, is his habitat. He ascended up and he ascended down. He came down from heaven and he went back to heaven. These four living ones do not represent Jesus Christ, however. They, again, represent the saints. They worship Christ. But when we see him, we will be like him, or we shall see him as he is. The four living ones do not represent Christ. Four is an important number in redemption. It is the number applied to the earth. When four is in evidence, God is dealing with the earth. Redemption is God's program for all ages. God's program for all ages. During this age, the progress of redemption is carried on with the preaching of the gospel for the saving of individual souls. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Now, dispensation of grace. This dispensation. At the time of the rapture, the process of redemption will reach yet another stage. That of consummation. God will then be dealing with the earth. And the more direct and potent way. Because as we all know, the gospel must be preached to every individual, every tongue in the world must hear the gospel. Everyone. Every tongue, people, and nation, accompanied by severe judgments. This is the work of Christ and the saints. Remember what it says, don't you know that the saints shall judge the angels? The saints will be organized into an army. The highest ranking are represented by the living ones. And another group of saints will carry out the order sent down by the living ones. See, this is not just a free-for-all where just everybody just goes hither, skither. Well, this is an orderly, carried-out mission. Each group of people or single individuals have a particular job that they will be doing during this time of redemption of mankind, of 3.5 years, and of judgment. We will be the ones carrying out the punishment. This other group of saints carrying out the orders sent down by the living ones, they are called horsemen. Still another group are seen as angels or messengers. Angels have their trumpets, vials full of the 7 last plagues. These are also saints, as spoken of in Revelation 21, verse 9, 22, verse 8 and 9. These are not symbolic. The created angels are ministering spirits for the saints. But the saints alone are God's administrators in the process of preaching the gospel and judging the world. The saints are God's administrators in the process of preaching the gospel and judging the world. They are not symbolic. We're not dealing now with symbols. The throne of God is real and literal. The elders are real and literal. Heavenly things are not symbolized. Sometimes they sound like a symbol to us because we have to use earthly words to express heavenly things. And when we get to heaven, we will see things the way they really are. And we won't be looking at earthly lamb or a lion or a calf or a flying eagle. But our new bodies, new eyes, new ears, being able to fly and go through walls, young again, pretty, full of energy, won't that be great? Wouldn't you like to have the energy you had when you were about 15? I'd like to have the energy I had when I was 55. We will see these living ones having a nature and a character. The living ones having a nature and a character expressed by the prophet in these inadequate earthly words. But one thing we can always remember, before every great event in heaven, there is a worship service led by the saints, led by us and a few others like us. Oh, well, we're out of time. I could go on for this for another hour, easy. But we'll pick it up next week again. Are you enjoying this? Did I slow down enough for everybody? Well, like Sherry, anytime I ain't doing something you like, just speak up.